Paul Harris. Thank you for listening. Give you a chance to be a part of the show in a little while at 312-591-8900. But first, let me introduce you to Nick Gillespie, who is the editor of Reason.com and Reason.tv, both associated with Reason Magazine, which is a libertarian publication. Nick, glad to have you on. Thanks for spending part of your Labor Day weekend with me.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I was reading on Reason Online something that you wrote Friday morning about 7:15, which I believe was before the McCain people had released their official announcement of his running mate. You wrote that the heavy Mitt Romney and Tim Pawlenty would consolidate the idea that John McCain is a tired, worn-out politician capable of making just as dull and uninteresting and noxious a choice as Barack Obama did.
Right.
And then you wrote, somebody such as Alaska Governor Sarah Palin would be a lot more interesting and fun.
Yes.
Well, good call, Nick.
And that's amazing to have done that at 7:15, after a long convention week to begin with. So I take full credit for that and full responsibility.
What is it you like about her?
Well, one of the things that, and I say this as somebody who is not going to vote probably at all in the election, but certainly not for the Republican or the Democratic candidate, but somebody who's interested in political discourse and debate and dialogue as well as spectacle. And what Palin does for the Republicans in particular is she brings a change in perceived attitudes towards women, certainly. She balances the McCain ticket in terms of age and in terms of administrative experience as the governor of a state. So she's a chief executive. And most interestingly, I think, in the same way that Barack Obama had to go with a gray beard who could kind of pump him up on foreign policy, where a lot of people are a little bit shaky or sketchy on him, Palin balances McCain with the age thing, but then any argument that gets leveled against Barack Obama in terms of inexperience and a lack of kind of standing and seasoning, anything that's applied to Palin can be applied to Obama. So it's going to create a different set of debating tactics and debating points, which I think will be genuinely fascinating to see.
Speaking of debating points, what do you think of Joe Biden having to watch what he says now?
Yeah, well, it's pretty interesting because what is she going to be saying? I mean, he's going to be hammering her on a lack of experience. She's going to be hammering him as a horrible beast and a lifelong resident of Washington D.C., where she and an outsider or a maverick like John McCain are out, from the parts of the country where the snow caps are glistening on the mountains and we're wrestling grizzly bears for breakfast and things like that. So it'll be, I think it's pretty, I'm very much looking forward to the Palin-Biden debate. And already going in, that I don't think a lot of the recent elections were, I think the debates will be genuinely fascinating because both McCain and Obama are really pretty good speakers. And they also have compelling personal narratives that they pull out all of the time. It's like they're trying to get, a break at the bar on their drink tab by hauling out some kind of sob story, to be quite honest. And when they're in the same room together, that gets neutralized. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing how they deal with some sharp disagreements about things like immigration and about trade policy in particular and foreign policy. I mean, there are real clear contrasts here. And it's going to be very interesting, I think, to see them actually have to grapple with that in the same room.
I think that Biden is probably going to spend more time using McCain as a punching bag during the debates and not risk being the one seen as beating up on the younger vice presidential candidate. I mean, forget her gender for a second.
It depends on how she functions, too, because if she keeps going after him and there's a lot of, there's a lot of kind of scandalous baggage for Joe Biden in terms of plagiarism, in terms of being a Washington insider, for having voted for the first Gulf War, but not the second. So, I mean, she can definitely hook into him, and it'll be interesting because he can get pretty snappy himself. You go back, and if you remember the Bush, George H.W. Bush vice presidential debate with Geraldine Ferraro, which was, more than 20 years ago now, and that, I think that gender politics have changed where I think you can actually be, you can have a real kind of conversation and more of a confrontation on both parts without it being seen as improper.
It's the Big 89 WLS, Paul Harris. Talking with Nick Gillespie from Reason.com and Reason.tv. She certainly props up the socially conservative base. I mean, Sarah Palin is a Christian woman with five children, one of them with Down syndrome. We know the whole story that's been playing out for the last 48 hours. And she certainly is McCain's sop to the extreme right wing. The question is whether it brings in some of the independents and some of the libertarians, ones who are right. not like you, who do plan on voting. Do you think yeah. it brings any of them into the GOP
yeah.
tent?
I think part of it remains to be seen, the way that she comes across and as her record gets filled out a little bit more. So, for instance, she, like McCain, is very anti-abortion. By the same token, she is, as far as Republicans go, pretty moderate on gay rights issues, which is appealing to libertarians, where she is, like Obama, she is not in favor of gay marriage, but she has vetoed certain legislation which would have barred same-sex couples from getting benefits in various public settings. So she's got some interesting kind of Alaskan libertarian flavor to her. She's big on gun rights. She's big on drilling and things like that. So there's some stuff there that might be kind of good from a libertarian perspective.
Nick, speaking of libertarians, what happened to the Ron Paul revolution?
Well, the Ron Paul revolution will continue a couple miles from the Republican National Convention. He's holding a day-long festival with a very wide-ranging, interesting cast of characters, starting off with Tucker Carlson, the MSNBC TV show personality, is actually introducing the day's events. And then Congressman Paul is going to speak at the end. And it kind of remains to be seen where the Ron Paul voters go in terms of voting. Do they vote for the Libertarian Party candidate, Bob Barr? Do they vote with the Republicans? I know that going back to Alaska, Ron Paul recently endorsed Don Young, a congressman there who was involved in the Bridge to Nowhere, and is just seen as an absolute worst-case scenario of a pork-barrel politician. And there were a lot of people who were longtime Paul supporters wondering why he was endorsing Don Young.
Why can't we get a more charismatic third-party candidate? I mean, I know that Bob Barr is the official Libertarian Party candidate for president, but he's not exactly somebody who lights up the charisma factor. Why is it that we can't get somebody who does stand up for civil liberties and other libertarian issues in this country, who really can be the person who's out there and gets the media to point cameras at them and Americans to go, wow, this guy's good?
The Libertarian Party candidate, and Reason has no affiliation with the Libertarian Party, but
right.
the one candidate who did the best was Ed Clark in the 1980 election, when it was Ronald Reagan versus Jimmy Carter, and there was a strong independent candidate, John Anderson, and Ed Clark got almost 1 million votes, was not a charismatic guy, but got the message out in a way that seemed to be right, in an election that was already pretty charged. And it's kind of curious. I think that part of it is that you're not going to get for a third party run. Every once in a while, you'll get a character like a Ralph Nader or a Ross Perot who really give it a good go. But generally speaking, you're not going to get people who are really, top drawer for a variety of reasons. And that's part of it. And part of it is that the media really, with the exception of like a Nader where you're a celebrity going in, and it's a very tight election, the media really doesn't know how to engage people who are not Republicans or Democrats, or even in those parties, people who have genuinely different ideas. I mean, media and people always talk about wanting change and to have more opinions in play, but in politics, that doesn't seem to happen. In the media, it's different, I think. And in the whether it's on talk radio and whether it's on cable news or the internet, you see a vast and growing proliferation of different points of view, from hard right to libertarian to extreme left, and I think it's very healthy for larger discussions.
Nick, what issues are not being covered in this campaign that you wish were being discussed?
One is very much so is immigration, and it's from what I've heard, my sources have told me that the Republican Party, which is very split on this issue, George Bush, John McCain were very comfortable with large immigration and even kind of not even worrying about documentation. They've kind of flipped on that, and the Republican Party is probably going to have a very hard line about illegal immigration and numbers in general. which will might bring attention to the immigration issue, which was really not mentioned in the Democratic Party at all. I would like to see more discussion of civil liberties, in particular the way that the executive branch has really, I think, in my mind, overreached in the past 8 years in ways that now that the Democrats are sniffing they got the White House, they're less interested in talking about. So I'd like to see more discussion about that. I would also like to see an actual discussion about drug policy in America, where we have a drug war, which is a total failure and has caused a ripple throughout law enforcement, throughout prisons, throughout school and education, foreign policy. It's really had a negative effect in wide-ranging areas, not getting a discussion. And we have, over the past two presidencies, both Clinton and Bush, we've had this odd case where about more than a dozen states have medical marijuana, but the federal government actually goes and raids. And in California, they put people in jail who, under California law, are dispensing legal medical marijuana. The candidates have not fully said, are they going to stop that or not? And this is something that started under Clinton, was continued under Bush, and it is a very disturbing instance that kind of encapsulates what's wrong with the drug war, I think.
I could not agree more. Terrific stuff. For more, you can go read what Nick and his colleagues are writing at Reason.com and see some of the videos that he and his colleagues and Drew Carey as well are all producing for Reason.tv. It's always a pleasure, Nick. Thanks for your time today.
My pleasure, too. Have a great weekend.
Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason.tv, here with Paul Harris, filling in for Maura and Wendy on the Big 89, the Weekend WLS.